In Iraq, the battle for Mosul continues. Fighting there has been going on for months between U.S.-backed Iraqi forces and ISIS fighters. The militants are losing their grip on the city, but the battle is definitely not over yet. And besides, the legacy of the so-called Islamic State may be felt for a long time in the region. The World's Richard Hall traveled to the Christian town of Karakush, just 20 miles east of Mosul, to find out whether different ethnic and religious groups targeted by ISIS are rebuilding or not.
So as we drive through Karakush now, we can see that lots of the houses have been burned by ISIS before they left. There are scorch marks out of every window.
But it's not just buildings that were destroyed. Ties between Christians and Muslims in the area were too.
Our relationship was good. There is friendship and history between us. But sadly, they betrayed us. They took everything. Terrorism turns even your neighbors against you.
That's Hazem Abush. His family was the first to return to Karakush after it was liberated in December. When I meet him at his house, he apologizes for it being so bare. Like many others, it was looted during the ISIS occupation of the town. He says the carnage here was caused not only by ISIS, but by his Sunni Muslim neighbors who live in the villages surrounding the town. Tens of thousands of Christians who lived in the area fled as ISIS advanced. But many Sunnis in those villages stayed behind, figuring they would have less to fear from the Sunni fundamentalist group.
We came back and found everything stolen. You can't know, they took everything. I have lots of missing stuff from my house. I had a new tractor that was stolen. Someone even took my front door. They sold the area, they burned the area.
Abush's main business was chicken farming. He brings out a photograph of himself standing proudly in the middle of a giant warehouse surrounded by tiny chicks. He says they are all gone now.
So I'm getting into a car with Mr. Abush and a couple of soldiers, and we're going to see his chicken farm to see the damage there. Going into the chicken farm now, and it's completely destroyed inside. There's bullet holes in the wall. There's big mounds of earth everywhere, and what appears to be the inside of a tunnel.
There was a lot of chickens here, but they took them. There was 15,000 chickens here. There was heaters. You can see the traces on the walls. But they took everything. We cannot do anything here anymore.
How does it feel to come back here and see all this completely destroyed, all your work destroyed?
How do I feel? It's hard. I can't pick myself up.
Abush keeps saying it was our neighbors who did this. He lumps ISIS and his Sunni neighbors into one. Who is ISIS made up of, he asks. For him, Sunnis supported the Sunni militant group at the expense of everyone else. After talking with him, I drive down the road to one of the Sunni villages to meet with one of those neighbors he speaks of so disparagingly. In the village of Tawajnat, the first person I meet is Talal Hassan, a Sunni sheikh and tribal leader. He lives on a small farm plot. I ask him, is it true that Sunnis in these areas welcomed ISIS when they first arrived? He says, yes, all the Sunnis did when they first came. The way Hassan tells it, before the Islamic State came along, Sunnis were being oppressed by the Shia-led government in Baghdad. He says the government ruled with an iron fist. Sunnis were not allowed to buy land in certain areas. They were arrested without charge. Many disappeared. It was this oppression that laid the groundwork for ISIS.
When they first came, we thought they were tribal revolutionaries, Sunnis that were being oppressed by the Shias and the Kurds and the US troops that invaded the country. They came to remove the oppression from us. People welcomed them.
But that didn't last long, he says. And soon, everyone became a victim of ISIS.
The killings, the money thefts, no work, taking women, life stopped completely. People turned against them, but there was nothing they could do.
Like his Christian neighbor, Abush, Hassan was a wealthy man before ISIS came along. He had a few businesses, cars, and made a good living. And like Abush, he too has lost everything due to ISIS. He says he helped Christian families escape, and because of that, he now gets death threats from ISIS. Not only that, he says he fears revenge attacks from people angry at Sunnis for the crimes of ISIS. I asked him what he would say to his Christian neighbours down the road, like Abush, who don't trust him and others like him.
We say that the Christians are our brothers. If you can prove that any of us took your money or attacked you, we are ready to pay you 4 times. Remember, you lived hundreds of years with the Arab Sunnis.
The story of Karakosh is symbolic of the tests Iraq faces as the threat of ISIS subsides. Abush and Hassan are rebuilding their lives. But can they, and others like them, rebuild the relationship between their two communities? Karakosh is currently without water, electricity, or people. But Abush is confident the Christians will come home, even if they do not trust their neighbors.
They are all coming back. Even the ones calling us from abroad, like Australia and other countries. They said, as soon as services are back, we will all come back.
They will come back, he says, because there is absolutely nowhere like Iraq. For the World, Richard Hall in Karakosh, northern Iraq.